We love you, Lord. And we thank you for your presence here. We're nothing without you. We've tried and failed. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound, Master. We ask for your forgiveness in any area where we've offended you. Wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, fill us with your spirit. Oh, your touch and your presence here. Make yourself even more and more real to each and every one in this room. Oh, Jesus. You're so good to us. You're wonderful. Break every hardened heart, Lord. Oh, yes, just like an alabaster box was broke. Break the heart that your anointing could flow through. Open eyes to see, ears to hear, and that heart to receive what you say. As we surrender to you, our heart, that we may have your heart tonight. We bless you, Master. Heal your people, Father. Visit us. Visit this country. Oh, Lord. We speak peace and blessing, salvation, stewardship, and protection to Jerusalem and Israel and your Jewish people. Lord, open the eyes of your people. Open the eyes of this country. Continue to expose the hidden agenda, that your people may be prepared and ready. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Bring revival to the body of Christ and unity of your spirit. Melt every wall of denomination and bring revelation. Revelation. We need you, Lord. We need you. And we love you. Feed us tonight, Father. Show us the things that please you. Guide us in your path. And establish your kingdom in us and through us, that Jesus would be glorified. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah, and give God glory. You know, when this presence of God begins to come in, I don't want to stop. You know, because when the presence of God comes, we realize that's our home. You realize so much more that you don't belong here. We just don't belong in this realm, you know? Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Would you turn to Proverbs 3, please? Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, you know, God just keeps hugging you and you just can't help it. Yes. Proverbs 3, is that? Yeah, okay. Let's start at verse 1. Let's read it together. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. That's powerful, isn't it? He says, listen, don't forget my commands. In other words, don't forget the things I've told you to do. Don't forget these things. Because the things that I'm telling you, he's saying, is it's going to prolong your life and you're going to walk in peace. In verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. How many of y'all want the favor of God? Amen. Well, here it is. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, don't forget my ways and commands. Don't forget the commitments and vows that you've made. Why? Because this will keep and prolong your life. You'll have peace. You'll have favor. And you'll begin to learn how to trust God even in a greater way. And God will learn to trust you. How many of y'all know if you can't trust God, God can't trust you? It says, trust Him with all of your heart or all of your being. Health and strength to the bones will come as you continually acknowledge the Lord. When He says do something and you say yes, that pleases the Lord tremendously. In this, He's trying to prevent us from any illnesses or things to overtake us, isn't He? So there's a place that you and I must reach. And it's a place what we call the obedience to trust. Everyone say obedience to trust. You know, many people say they trust, but they're not obedient to trust. And in true reality, they say they trust, but there really isn't any obedience to trust God. And it is a level that we must reach. There is a place where you are obedient to trust God and everything. You know, discipline to trust is survival. Are you listening? But obedience to trust is surrender. Discipline to trust is survival. Because we, in a disciplined state, are actually still in a survival mode. So we are staying disciplined to come out of the survival mode to get into surrender mode. And when you are completely surrendered unto God Almighty, you come into a place where you are obedient to trust Him in everything there is. Does everybody got it? There's a discipline to trust, but then there's an obedience to trust. And there's a difference. You know, there's a writer and a man of God named Andrew Murray, and he stated this. He stated that obedience is not the most popular word in our vocabulary. He said that we live in a society that is constantly battling the system, fighting for what we want. We're primarily concerned with how the rules inconvenience us. We're looking to see what we can get away with as living flesh creatures. But obedience is much more than following rules. It is a state of the heart. It is a what? State of the heart. Obedience is a state of the heart. And by missing this truth, we miss the power of complete obedience. Because there is power in complete obedience. Does everybody understand what was just said? It is so powerful. Remember, it's something that in society doesn't want to be obedient. In other words, in society, because there's survival, people are in survival mode, we walk in the place of discipline to obedience. But in a relationship with the King of Glory, we walk in obedience to trust. Has everybody got it? In a state of survival, we walk in discipline to what? Trust. Because there's survival mode. But when we come out of survival mode and get into surrender mode, something begins to change. You're not coming to an area where you've got to trust God. You're coming in an area where you want to trust God. Because it is the state of your heart. Turn to Psalm 40. The obedience to trust. Psalm 40. In verse 1. I waited what? Patiently for the Lord. In other words, that person endured. Has everybody got it? This is David who wrote the song. He said, I waited patiently. Patience is not sitting around and twiddling your thumbs. Patience is endurance, where you are fighting for the presence of God. You are enduring. In other words, he was enduring. What was he waiting for? An answer. So he wasn't sitting there twiddling his thumb. Okay, God, I don't know when you're going to answer me, but... No, he was enduring. He was seeking. He wasn't just sitting there waiting. I waited patiently. In other words, I endured. I didn't make any move. I didn't make any decision. I waited for the answer. I waited patiently for the Lord, and what had happened? He inclined to me, and he heard what? My cry. Why? Because he endured. He did not move until he got the answer. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. Why did he bring him up? How did he bring him up? He got the what? Answer. Because there was something important here. He was obedient to trust. And it says here, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth and praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Now, many are going to see you and trust in God because of what he has done in your life and the change. But many people who don't know the Lord are going to first have to start in an area where they're disciplined to trust until they get in a place where they are obedient to trust him. See, David was in a place where he was obedient to trust God. And verse 4, what does it say? Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his what? His trust. And does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted in your order. If I would declare and speak of them, there is more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you didn't require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I what? Delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. Remember, obedience to trust is a state of the heart, isn't it? Now there's something he said. He said, I delight to do your will. See, so there's a place where you want to do his will. You just don't say you're going to do his will. You want to, and you do it. Because there is obedience to trust God. But there's something going on in your heart. His law is in your heart. His ways are in your heart. His commands are in your heart because you've allowed them to be there. And now you're beginning to listen to your heart, the heart of Christ, instead of the intellect. See, the intellect has to always be told what to do. See, in this intellect, we want to be disciplined in everything. So in the intellect, we must be disciplined to trust. But in our heart, we must be obedient to trust. Is everybody okay? Praise God. So blessed is the person who makes his trust in the Lord. He delights to do the will of God because he's allowing his heart to yield to the commands of God, to the obedience to trust him without reason and without question. Without what? Reason and without question. Go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. The obedience to trust. Jeremiah 31 and 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more. So we see the law will be placed in the heart, in other words, his commands. How many of you all know that they are delivered by His voice? In other words, His voice. We will be impressed with His voice, with His commands. Why? Because you've given your heart to the Lord now, and now you have the heart of Christ. So the heart of Christ is going to lead you in the area, especially where you will be obedient to trust God. Is everybody okay? Go to Jeremiah 32, 37. Would you read it? Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them, in my anger and my fury, and in great wrath. See, the Lord drove a fury. This was His favorite car. And you know what? He didn't need any money to bail them out. Isn't that nice? And in great wrath, and I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. He was a good driver too. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may what? Fear me for when? Forever. For the good of them and their children after them. In other words, He is going to put the fear of God in this, in our heart. And that means reverence. It doesn't mean you're afraid of Him. It means that you reverence Him. He is hallowed now in your heart, in you. And then He says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, then I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. So we see there's two things here that He says, I'm going to put in their hearts, my commands, my laws, my ways, and my presence, my reverence. So what? So that they will be obedient to trust the Lord in everything. Not just by discipline, but by the obedience to trust Him. Because you know Him. Everybody okay? Go to Psalm 21. Psalm 21. This is powerful. Read this with me in verse 7. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall what? He won't be moved. See, I want you to get this. People who are diligent to trust God can still be moved. People who are obedient to trust God won't be moved. Because their heart is steadfast. There's a difference. It's an area of relationship. It's an area of reverence to Him. It's an area of knowing Him. Not just knowing about Him. And God is trying to bring us to a place where we reach a level of obedience to trust. So why? So we won't be moved. We won't be moved by the things of the world. We won't be moved by feelings. We won't be moved by goofy things. We won't be moved by money. You know how many people take a job just because it's more money, but it really wasn't from God? It was a good deal, but not a God deal? Unfortunately, because they're not walking or being led by the Spirit, they're being led by the intellect, thinking that because they deserve a reward, they've been a good boy or girl, that God was blessing them. But how many of you know that the enemy comes as an angel of light? To do what? To get you out of God's will. How many know that the devil can bring you false peace? And that's why we must be led by the Spirit. So we want to get to this place where we reach the obedience to trust, and not just the area of discipline to trust. But you got to start somewhere, don't you? So you're going to start with the discipline to trust and get into the obedience to trust. Go to Proverbs 28. It's a lot more fun too. Then you can have your own car and you don't have to drive in the Lord's fury. Because He'll bless you. In Proverbs 28 and verse 25. Is everybody there? Oh, yeah. Read it, please. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be what? Prospered. And I know everybody in this room wants to prosper. But the first thing you want to prosper is spiritually. Right? You want to prosper spiritually. It says, he who trusts in his own heart is an idiot. I mean a fool. Now that's in the heart of the carnal heart. Does everybody get that? In his own heart. Remember, you and I don't have a heart. We've given our heart to the Lord. The heart that you and I now maintain is the heart of Christ. So his heart's pumping something different. It's pumping glory. Yeah. It's pumping truth. It's pumping reverence. It's pumping his commands. It's pumping his word. It's pumping his love. It's pumping and reminding us that we don't belong in this stinky place. Hello. That we belong in another realm. It's always pumping in us truth. Oh, it's a wonderful place to be. Glory! He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, and whoever walks wisely will be what? Delivered. Hello, delivered from what? Well, first of all, yourself. Hello? Your own goofy heart. And from the powers of darkness. From the deceptions, the lusts of the world, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life. Does everybody get it? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So there's an area where God guarantees deliverance. Psalm 31. Psalm 31. In verse 17. Would you read it with me? Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I've called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contentiously against the righteous. Now I want you to understand that he's talking in an area of the voice of the stranger. Not only do you hear or the voice of those who are called fiery darts that are coming against you, but the devil is using people to speak against you too. Hello. And verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who what? Fear you or reverence you. Which we have prepared for those who what? Trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men. Now check this out, man. 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. In other words, you're going to hear it. But did you remember that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will what? Never hurt me. It don't matter what people say about you. You know why? Because you're a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. Why? Because you're walking in the obedience to trust God for everything. And those who speak against you in any way whatsoever are not walking in the obedience to trust. Because there's a difference in heart, isn't there? There's a difference in heart. Go to Isaiah 26. You know, many people, when you begin to walk with God, they don't understand you. Even some people who say they're believers don't understand you. You know, some people don't want you to grow. They don't want you to grow. Because they want to control you. Are you listening? Do you ever notice that in relationships sometimes? That sometimes, you know, I remember being an addict out there and doing the goofy things. And my wife was a little bit more control than I was. And so it seemed that she was the one that was working the professional job, and I was out there. Let me just say, I had a professional job. I was a pharmaceutical distributor. In fact, sometimes we're a manufacturer too. The pay was very good, but the price was tremendous. So I gave up the profession and God assisted me in that. And I became a servant of the Lord. And now the Lord restores my wife and myself, and she sees what God did to me and begins to reverence God, not because of anything I did, but because what God changed me. And then eventually began to realize, man, you were the idiot, and I was the one that was working, and look it. I mean, there was a total change of roles. But there was an area, because she began to walk with the Lord, she thought it was awesome. And to have a husband that's the head of the house is ordained by God. Not in control, but spiritually head. But there are some in relationships where the one is not right yet. So the one is sick, the one is addicted, the one's whatever. They get rescued and freed up. But the other partner in the marriage don't like it now, because they have to give up control. Are you listening? So in this, we must maintain the area of being obedient to trust God in everything, no matter what. He wants to bring us to that level of complete obedience to trust God, because in complete obedience, the power of God awaits for you. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Isaiah 26. Do we go there yet? No. Oh, this is good. In verse 2, would you read it? Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he what? Because he trusts in you. Oh, I love it. So in this area where you are obedient to trust God, that means your mind is on God. And you know what the beautiful thing is? It's no longer on you. It's on God. Because there's been a heart change. So this obedience to trust puts your mind on God, and you are walking in God's perfect peace. But the discipline to trust, the mind is still everywhere. Are you listening? Until we get to that place where that heart has been changed and we come into an arena of obedience to trust. See, this is where you lose yourself. Other than that, you're still fighting for yourself. And you put yourself in survival mode instead of surrender mode. Let's go a little further. In verse 4, it says what? Trust in the Lord occasionally. Oh. Trust in the Lord when you feel like it. Trust in the Lord when you need Him. When you don't need Him. Trust in the Lord forever. Ever, 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 ever. Trust in the Lord forever. Oh, that's beautiful. For in Yah, the Lord is everlasting what? Ah, so where you get your strength from? Trusting in the Lord. That's where your strength comes from. Trusting in the Lord. Glory. Let's go a little further, okay? Ooh, so you're going to trust forever because there is strength to endure. You'll need strength to endure, won't you? And that's where you are in a place now that you are reaching, touching, and walking in obedience to trust God in everything. Go to Nahum. Should be right after Micah. Nahum, chapter 1, and verse 7. Read verse 7 with me. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. And He what? He knows those who trust in Him. So if He knows those who trust in Him, you know what happens? He can trust in you. Now, can you trust somebody that can't trust you? No way. They have to earn that trust, don't they? But you can trust somebody that can trust you because you know they're not going to get granola on you. So here's an area where God says, I know those whom trust me. Why? Because I trust them. Does everybody get it? And we want to be in that arena and that label with God. Could God trust Job? Why? Because Job trusted God. Go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. The obedience to trust. Jeremiah 17 and verse something here. Oh, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, curse is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh, oh, his strength. Now listen, look what happens. Whose heart departs from, in other words, that person has taken back his heart. Now I want to share something very important with this. It says, curse is a man who makes his flesh. That means his desires, his thoughts, past accomplishments, abilities, or talents, intellect, his strength. Causes the heart to depart from the process of God's will. In other words, in that area, we didn't allow God to complete the process of change in our life. Does everybody got it? We didn't allow God to complete the process of change in our life. To bring us to the next level. And we go back instead of forward. Does everybody hear that? We go back instead of what? Forward. Now, let's go back there again. It says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength. Now, everybody understands this strength, right? This flesh strength. It has to do with self, isn't it? Whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. In other words, that person becomes blinded. Wrong strength. Wrong trust. Shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. In other words, you're going to have overflow of joy. You're going to overflow with a good thing. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're going to still be joyful. That's where you're going to fulfill the scripture. Count it all joy. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? So there is a difference, isn't there? Now I want to share something with you. That individuals who begin. And I just want to share this. That in this. We open ourselves to demonic activity because a curse is a legal right for a demon to have access to you. And people wonder why they struggle. And wonder why the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy because they have stepped back, taken their heart back, and began to trust in their intellect, in their flesh, in their strength, in their abilities, instead of trusting totally in the Lord. And they have stopped God from completing what He started in them to reach a place of change. And that person will go right back where they started from. Does everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Hebrews 11. How many of y'all ever heard anybody say, I'm letting go and letting God? How many of y'all ever seen it last 5 minutes? Yeah, I know you looked in the mirror and it happened. Hallelujah. Everybody's gone through it. I'm letting go and letting God. Yeah, right. We'll see. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Would you read it? But without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared the ark of the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now listen, this is powerful because it says that faith pleases God. Faith is the unseen obedience to trust God. Everybody say, faith is the unseen obedience to trust God. That's what faith is. And it says Noah, right? God divinely warned him of things that Noah didn't see yet. So Noah got his family together and began to build an ark. You don't think he got mocked? You know, you want to get that ark out of my driveway? Hello? I got a city of building an ark. They didn't even know what an ark was. First of all, they didn't even know what rain was. And he told them it's going to rain. They're like, yeah, right. What are you eating? Or what are you drinking? So Noah was mocked completely. You don't think that, I mean, he had to fight and struggle, but he was in a place where he was a righteous man. His heart had changed. And he was obedient to trust God. And he didn't build it overnight, you know. He had to wait for the divine plans. And they had the seal of approval. And then he began to build. And while everybody mocked him for that period of time, everybody came against him and thought he was a granola, he was a righteous man. You know why? Because he feared the Lord. And because he feared the Lord, there was a change of heart. See, you can't reverence God without a change of heart. It's impossible. But one of the things the devil wants to do is bring you back to take the heart of Christ and put the carnal heart in there, where you become prideful and arrogant and begin to trust in your own strength. Is everybody okay? Go to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out where? Not knowing where he was going. Where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Don't you have a plan? No. I love that. Where are you going? I don't know. But I'm going. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now most people have said, what's the matter with you, man? But the Lord told me to go. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, the same promise. For he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So God was bringing him to a promised land. Now, I want you to understand. All right, now Abraham didn't say, yo, why am I going? Can't you send somebody else? And I really have a lot of more questions. How long do I need to be there before the blessing comes? Can we make a deal? Hello? No, he did it without reasoning and without questioning. He went because he was obedient to trust God. Praise God. Go to verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was what? Tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding, now this is powerful, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the what? Dead. Now check this out. I love this. So Abraham, the Lord told Abraham, come on, go out and kill your kid. Abraham said, where? He didn't ask why. He said, where? And the Lord told him where to go. So Abraham went. And when they got to the place of sacrifice, he tied up his son and put him on the altar. But it says here, because Abraham was obedient to trust God for everything, that if he did kill his son, he knew that the Lord would raise him up from the dead. Because he was the promised seed. Do you all get this? See, that's how God's promises are in our life. If we can get to reach that place, we're walking in obedience to trust God in everything. Even if he says, you know, something that seems strange, and you do it, you know that he's behind it. As long as you know he's behind it. Now, he isn't going to ask us anymore about killing your kids or your wife or your spouse, okay? Those days are over with. If you decide, if the Lord tells you to build an altar on your front lawn, your neighbor's going to call the police and you're going to get arrested. And God ain't bailing you out or picking you up in his fury. Hello. So you got to have wisdom, amen? Is everybody okay? Go to Galatians 3, verse 10. Would you read it with me? Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as there are the works of the law, and under the what? Curse. For it is written, curses everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just live by what? Now what is faith again? The obedience to trust God. It's the unseen obedience to trust God. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, by not reaching the level of obedience to trust God, which is faith, we fall back into the law of works. The law of what? Works. And trust in self or feelings more than God. And it brings a curse. I want to share a couple fruits of a curse. Now remember, a curse is an area where the enemy has illegal access to you. So if the devil has legal access to you, you are going to find some of the fruits of that spirit that's using you. Are you listening? Or trying to get to you? One of the first fruits is torment. That means that there is a curse involved. Torment. The second one is confusion. So God has not given you the spirit of confusion. Delusion. Spiritual blindness. Fear. Selfishness. This curse allows a demonic access to the soul, the mind, the will, and emotions. And physical and mental state of being or state of health. Some people get very ill because of demonic access to their bodies. Stubbornness and rebellion is also a fruit of a curse. Unforgiveness, lying and manipulating is fruits of a curse. And there's many others, but we don't have till Tuesday. But these are some of the ones that we can recognize in our lives on a daily basis. You know? Just some of these areas. Why? Because you got to remember, a curse is a legal access of a spirit to access you. So everybody got it? You know, there are things that we've inherited through curses, isn't there? That's why it's important to break these curses off. But then there are self-imposed curses. Things that we touch or come in agreement with. Or things that when God says to do something, we're just trusting in our own strength and it'll bring a curse. Remember, there's discipline, obedience. Discipline to obedience. Obedience to what? Authority. Authority to dominion. Dominion to victory. Victory to freedom. And freedom to favor. Now, how many of y'all want the favor of God? Well, you'll have to go through a process. And if you drop out of that process, you will not gain God's favor. Why? Because you won't get to a place where you are obedient to trust. And if you can't get to that place, He can't trust you. So is He going to give you something He can't trust you in? No. James 5. James 5. James 5 and verse 13, would you read it with me? Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. I love that scripture. Let him pray. Is anybody, are you going through stuff? Go pray, man. Quit telling everybody else to pray for you. You go pray. You know, people run to the phone instead of the throne. And they wonder why they have problems. Sometimes people call everybody just to try and confirm what they believe, even if the belief is incorrect. Hello. He says, if you're suffering, if you're being torn, if something's going wrong, go pray. That's the first thing we're supposed to do, isn't it? Go pray. Is everybody there? He says, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith. Wait a minute, what's the prayer of the faith? Those who are obedient to trust will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be what? Forgiven. You know, I want to share something with you. You want to be careful about who you allow pray for you. Don't let nobody just lay hands on you. I have people try to lay hands on me. I slap them right off. Don't touch me, man. I got enough stuff of my own. Be careful who you lay hands on, especially in services. Do not let anybody come up and lay hands on you. Never. Never go to a service. I do not like when preachers say, everybody lay hands on that person in a service. When there's a whole brand new people, nobody knows where nobody is. And they say, lay hands on that person. I've been in services where preachers have said that. And they came to lay hands on me. I said, don't touch me. And I won't let that preacher lay hands on me. Hello? Why? Because you transfer spirits. What you've done. Well, I apply the blood. The blood ain't going to protect you from being an idiot. Because if you come in agreement with it, the blood don't protect you. Hello? What you've done is nullified the blood because you agreed with sin. Is everybody okay? I don't know how we got off on that, but praise God. So now you know. So some granola comes up to you and says, I have a word for you while everybody else is worshiping. And they want to lay hands on you, kick them in the butt. Tell them to repent and then see me afterwards. You know, sometimes God is touching people in the service and they're weeping and crying. They don't need your soulish hug. Just let them be, man. It's them and God. Sometimes you touch them and the presence of God lifts from them. Does everybody get it? Don't get soulish out there. I had one time I don't know why I'm going into this, but I'm gonna let you know. One time we're praising and worshiping, the presence of God's coming, this person comes in from nowhere, I don't know who or what, and I'm down there worshiping, and this person comes down there and lays right next to me and is looking in my face. And I think it was some lady that was working at Hooters. And everything was showing. And I'm thinking, where are the armor bearers? Everybody was looking everywhere else. Everybody had their eyes closed praising God, but nobody was watching this. And this girl's, and she's on her knees next to me, hanging over and looking in my face. And her perfume was killing me. Boy, I could have used that fury then. And, you know, I had to sever everything. You know, I kept trying to get away. I was like, yeah. And she kept, I need to talk to you. I worship the Lord, I kept telling her. But really, and then she goes and sits down and lifts her leg up on the chairs and sits back. She probably wanted bus fare, you know. But I'm telling you, you got to be careful. Where were we? Anyways. And a prayer of faith. Is everybody okay? Oh, we got some good stories, let me tell you. Now, oh, wait a minute, go to verse 15. And the prayer of faith, now, those that are prayer of faith are those who are what? Obedient to trust, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Has everybody got it? Go to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. What's it say? Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Always. Rejoice in the Lord, you know, when he blesses you. No, always. Rejoice in the Lord when you're going through trials and tribulations. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your what? Gentleness be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. How are you going to allow men to know that the Lord is at hand in your life? By being what? Obedient to trust him in everything. Has everybody got that? By being obedient to trust God. Be anxious for everything. Oh. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, go to the throne and not the phone. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Hello. By prayer. And supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, after you've done that, the peace of God will come, which surpasses all of your carnal reasoning, all of your questions to God, and your understandings, which will guard your what? Your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Anxiousness is a fruit of the enemy. he's got access somehow. Did you ever get around a person that says, I'm waiting on God? You turn around and they're gone. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to wait on God. Well, where are you going? Where'd you go? Well, I went to another place to wait. I'm telling you, people that are anxious are dangerous because they're usually led by emotion and feeling instead of truth. And you can't trust them. They can't trust them. And they can't trust you because they're so anxious. So everybody got it. Anxiousness is also associated with fear. In other words, they fear anything that comes along, they're gone. Where'd you go? I mean, you never know what's going on. They'll tell you you're going to meet you somewhere. They're going to say, they make all kinds of vows. And their mind is racing so constantly that they can't settle and they can't fulfill vows that they've made because they don't even remember they made them. Anxiousness is a fruit of the enemy having access, moved for selfish ambitions. They're moved by selfish ambitions and agreeing with the voice of the stranger, causing an individual to reject obedience to trust God, no matter where you're at or what condition you're in. There is not a desire or willingness to receive counsel, trust counsel, or submit to counsel. Nor can they receive the peace of God only until the only peace that comes is when they are obedient to the voice of the stranger, which brings temporary or false peace. Does everybody understand that? And it produces works of the flesh. And we must guard our heart, or the heart of Christ, from these things and constantly surrender our own heart in the exchange. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? So anxiousness is very dangerous, isn't it? That's why he says be anxious for nothing. Because usually an individual that's anxious has associated with selfish ambitions. It's me, 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 and me, and then I, and I. And then myself, myself, myself. But they're saying, I trust God, I trust God, I trust God, I trust God, I trust God. But they really don't trust God. And they've opened themselves up to a curse. That's why anxiousness is now there. So everybody got it. James 3. And then one more scripture. We want to reach the level of obedience to trust. James chapter 3. When the curse is there also, the I syndrome begins to manifest. That's what happened to Lucifer. I. It's Morse code to other demons, if you know that. When you start saying I, you just invited every demon in hell. And they've come for lunch. So it always produces an I syndrome. And that's because it will cause the heart to change now. And there's anxiousness and there's fear. And there really isn't a trust in God. Because if there was a trust in God, I wouldn't be there. So everybody got it. In James 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. For this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. Why? Do you see this? Why? It's a curse is coming. It's open to access by demonic forces. And now, because the individual that's been open to this becomes blinded, deceived, and actually thinks that they're walking in the wisdom of God because they're not obedient to trust God, but this wisdom is not of God, it's the wisdom of the devil. And it says, this wisdom does not descend above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Hello. Does everybody see this? But I trust God. No, you don't. Because these fruits wouldn't be there. But the wisdom that's from above is what? First, pure. Then what? Peaceable. Gentle. Willing to yield or submit or surrender. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And I'm going to close at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Did you get it? You got it. The difference between obedience to trust and discipline to trust. In verse 8 it says what? Be what? Sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Resist him steadfast in the what? Now what is the faith? The obedience to trust God for everything. So you see this, it's difficult to resist the devil in the discipline to trust God, isn't it? Because they're still in survival mode. Because discipline is what causes me and you to sow. But there's an area when you reach the obedience. Are you listening? The obedience to trust God. Now you're walking in faith. And you're able to say, no, you vermin. And then you can watch and get run over by the fury. Resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody goes through it. No, you're not the only one. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you so that you become obedient to trust God, which is faith. Amen? You got it? This is the level God wants us to walk in. The obedience to trust God in everything. And you will have peace. You will have victory. You will have dominion. You will have freedom. And you will have favor. Because he knows those who trust him. And those who trust him, he can trust. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, any area where we lack in these things, we ask for your forgiveness. For you said it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we ask for your continued counsel, correction, and direction, that we may become obedient to trust you in everything. The blood be upon the seed and grow and bear fruit for your glory. And I pray the blessing of the Lord over each and every one here tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed.